This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
Values aren't just words. Values aren't something you talk about. Values are the way you act to make the lives of Americans better.
He came out here to the Midwest, and he said he was the candidate with the conservative values. No, I know. I'm just quoting what he said.
Senator John Kerry speaking Thursday to the NAACP convention, and President George Bush speaking Wednesday at a campaign stop in Waukesha, Wisconsin. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And we have less than 100 days until the election, crowding into the political conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Where, Dan, do you fix now the candidates in relation to each other and the American voters?
Well, I think they are where your sound bites indicated they are. Here are two candidates pretty well deadlocked in the polls, unsure now what will sway the American voter, be it Iraq, be it the economy, both trying to capture the high ground, and the high ground is being called values, that vague, amorphous thing made up of moral issues like death penalty and abortion and same-sex marriage, and sort of a general piety and patriotism. This could be called the More Pious Than Thou campaign.
Let me ask about President Bush. We're told is the first U.S. president not to speak to the NAACP convention since Herbert Hoover. Now, he will be speaking to the Urban League convention, not to say both organizations are the same. NAACP did run ads against Mr. Bush, who was running for president 4 years ago. But is this nonetheless regarded as a snub that's also a political mistake?
Well, it certainly is a snub. Whether it's a political mistake, as time will tell. The White House said the reason for it is that the NAACP leaders had made hostile remarks about the president. Well, Senator Kerry seizes the opportunity to speak to the convention and say that he will talk to all the people and not divide them by race. You know, President Bush has now scheduled a speech, as you say, to the Urban League. His position on race has always been a little bit ambiguous. You'll remember that during the 2000 campaign, he caught a lot of flack for speaking at a segregated academy, Bob Jones University, yet he also has two African Americans in very high positions, Condoleezza Rice and Secretary of State Colin Powell. So, ambiguous.
Secretary Page, too, and there are other African Americans in the administration as well. President, while he's campaigning, is continuing to defend his decision to go to war in Iraq, despite what seems to be erroneous pre-war intelligence. He says the world is a better place without Saddam Hussein and that regime. Do you think the president's message is demonstrably connecting with voters?
Well, in the latest New York Times CBS poll, 51% of Americans say the United States should have stayed out of that war. 62% say that the war was not worth the cost in American lives and American money. The mantle of war leader has worn somewhat thin. Even when it comes to the economy, you have 42% saying they approve of the president's handling of the economy, and 51% don't approve. This despite a recent improvement in the economy. We can see why the president talks about values so much, because the normal issues seem, the usual issues seem not to be working very well.
Let me ask you about these rumors that get written up as news accounts, although the news accounts usually wind up saying, no, it's just a rumor,
right?
that Vice President Cheney may be replaced on the Republican ticket. I mean, what do you make of these articles that say there's nothing to it, but let's tell you at length what's going on here?
Well, I'm not sure what started the rumors. Maybe it was Vice President Cheney's use of bad language when talking to a Democratic senator. I doubt that. Or maybe it's just a kind of a contrast with a youthful and very smooth-talking John Edwards. However, like you, I would very much discount the rumors, if only because changing vice presidential horses midstream would in itself be a blow to the Bush campaign. And therefore, for that reason alone, if not others, I do not see a change.
More indications of what the September 11th Commission final report will recommend managed to leak out in the press. A report is scheduled to be released next week, and we are told it will likely call for a cabinet-level position for intelligence, an overhaul of congressional oversight, and changes to the FBI. Mm-hmm. The main thrust seems to be a loss of power for the head of the CIA.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, it is a tradition in American political life that when something goes very, very wrong, the bureaucratic answer is, you know, we need a czar to take care of that. Mm-hmm. So we need a drug czar, we need a homeland security czar, and now the idea is we need an intelligence czar. If we have somebody that can look at the CIA and the FBI and the NSA and a couple of other intelligence agencies, it'll work better than it worked before. As perhaps you can tell by the way I'm talking about it, I don't think that always works or generally works. I don't think that simply putting one man on top of an organization which isn't working very well does very much. Well, all right. Senator Kerry, quick to hop on the intelligence reform bandwagon, is calling for more than doubling the number of human spies abroad. All the things we hear now in terms of reform, I can tell you, I listened to most of the same arguments in the mid-1970s.
Mm-hmm. And they discovered that recruiting a lot of spies is difficult, right? I mean, it's not like hiring someone to clean your pool.
Yes, especially when you're dealing with a series of foreign languages, very few of which are mastered by many in our intelligence community.
Senate this week rejected a proposed constitutional amendment that would have defined marriage as a union between man and woman, and exclusively. President Bush had plumped for passage of that amendment. Do you think it becomes a campaign issue?
Well, it'll help to solidify the president's evangelical base, in case that needed any solidifying. Look, the Senate spent 3 days in a debate over this proposed constitutional amendment, and everybody knew it wasn't going anywhere. It needed 60 votes to stay in defeat a filibuster. It was known that wouldn't happen. There were six Republicans who voted against it. It was kind of a nominal defeat for President Bush, but he didn't expect it anyway. I think it is terribly interesting. The Senate can spend 3 days on the question of the marriage question, mm-hmm. knowing nothing's going to happen, and then say they have no time to continue the pursuit of the scandal of prisoner abuse in Iraq. That they don't have time for. The investigation there has virtually bogged down.
There were a few days of relative calm in Iraq, but 10 Iraqis died this week in an explosion just outside the Green Zone in Baghdad. Prime Minister Alawi has announced the formation of what was called an Iraqi Secret Service to root out insurgents. Do you have any idea what the Secret Service will do?
Well, yes, it's kind of a security service. It's an attempt to form an organization which will go after terrorists and get rid of them. And I don't know whether it'll work or not, but it emphasizes the fact that the most important thing that has to happen in Iraq, if this whole experiment in democracy is to work, they have to be able to guarantee the security of the citizens. Citizens have to be able to walk out of the houses and go shopping and go to school. Minus that, this will fail. With that, maybe.
Martha Stewart, sentenced to 5 months. She is appealing. Leah Fastow, the wife of Enron CFO Andrew Fastow, began her year-long sentence in a federal prison in Texas this week. Have any reaction?
Well, I have time only to say that this, along with Ken Lay, along with all these other recent scandals, indicates something about the fact the arrogance of money and the arrogance of power. These people think they live in a different world, and they're learning differently.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.